Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. And I have a real treat for Illini fans tonight. We are going to get a scouting report from Brian Haydad, who is one of the folks who works at SuperTalk Minnesota. There, my Big Ten's hitting me here. SuperTalk Mississippi, which is a part of Sports Talk Mississippi. And this is near and dear to my heart. You guys have radio that goes across the state of Mississippi, and you get to talk about Mississippi State and sports in your state. That is awesome. We do the same here at Illini Guys. And you also have the Thunder and Lightning podcast, which I'm sure Brett Bielema, that's what he loves to call some of his running attacks when he gets the big guy and the fast guy together. Yeah. So he might be a huge fan of your podcast. We just don't know it yet.
We love Brett on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. We always have. So going back to when he was at Arkansas. So hopefully he's an avid listener.
Yeah, well, you know what? I tell you what, he is a guy who I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times and interviewing him. And I was really amazed at the level of detail with which I really think that it, you know, at 10 a.m., he scratches his nose with his right index finger. I almost feel like that's on a to-do list somewhere at that time. And he's got it planned out like that. And I think that has been very beneficial because Illinois has been a disastrous football program, except for two seasons since John Makovic left the Illini back at the end of 1991. Just horrible.
Yeah. So Bielema's a good coach. So yeah. he's got that program going in the right direction, I think.
Yeah. We feel very fortunate to have him. And I think a lot of us, and I'll raise my own hand, and then this will help us get into Mississippi State. But I spent most of every job opening since 2004 at Illinois proposing that Mike Leach be hired to be the football coach at Illinois. For those fans who, probably peripherally have read about Coach Leach passing, first off, maybe you can just kind of tell us what he did for this program, to help Mississippi State get to where they are today.
Yeah, sure. He came in at an interesting time at Mississippi State because, you were 2 years removed from Dan Mullen leaving, the most successful coach in recent times for Mississippi State. You had brought in Joe Moorhead. I'm sure you're familiar with him with his time at Penn State. Yep. And at the time when Moorhead was hired, everybody thought that's a home run hire. His offense is similar enough to Mullen's that it should be an easy transition, but he adds that dynamic passing game that you didn't have. And it just didn't work out. And from what I can gather, and I like Joe and I got to know him, but he just wasn't ready to be the head coach of an SEC football program, of a big time football program. I think he's going to end up doing well at Akron, but for Mississippi State, he just wasn't the right guy. He kind of let the inmates take over the asylum a little bit from what I've heard. And so State needed to bring in a guy who wasn't going to be like that. They needed to bring in a guy who understood discipline and it was going to be tough. They wanted to go with Joe Judge at first. I don't know if you know this or not. If the New York Giants had not hired Joe Judge, which was unexpected at the time, he would have been the head coach at Mississippi State. There's no question that I've seen the graphics. They were ready to be distributed. But when Judge got away from State, John Cohen, who was then the athletic director, he's now at Auburn. He said he'd always had a fascination with Mike Leach. And so he went to Leach, and this was a job that Leach said, I have an interest in. You know, Leach had obviously been reached out to probably by every major college program in the country. And this was one he said, okay, you got my attention. And it put the job together, and it was a little more, maybe a little more of a process than State fans wanted it to be, because Mississippi State has been a program for 100 plus years of playing football. running the football was the identity of this football program. They just didn't throw the ball very well. Dak Prescott was the first and only all-SEC, you know, quarterback that anybody would ever know. I mean, if I said Rocky Felker or Dave Marler, nobody knows who those people are. Mississippi State people do, but nobody knows who those people are. And then you have Dak, and he sort of brought MSU into the modern day of passing. But even then, you know, his record for a single season was 3,500 yards. Well, I mean, that's chump change to Mike Leach. I mean, he does that all the time. So the transition was a little tough, but the offense got better year one to year two to year three. The wins got better from year one to year two to year three. Of course, year one, you know, you're playing an all SEC schedule. That's a year where if you go back and watch State play in that year, if they had played non-conference games that year, they would have probably won at least seven games. But they played all SEC teams, so they won three. This is the way that it goes. But in year two, they were better. And then this year, you know, they go up to eight wins. They're ranked in the top 20. They had some good wins on the season. And heading into this bowl game, I think there was a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement around this football program. And then you have this unbelievable tragedy just completely out of nowhere. And when I say out of nowhere, Mike Leach was at my house the day before he passed away. I host a Christmas party every year for the media and some of my friends. I invite some coaches. Leach had reached out. I'd reached out to Leach, and he'd said, I will try to make it. We have recruits in. But he was in my home. He was taking pictures, eating cookies, telling jokes. I mean, and then the next day, he was in a coma.
Yeah.
So when I say out of nowhere, I mean, I can't stress enough how surprising all of this was. And then 2 days later, he was gone. And that left a huge hole here in Starkville with his passing, as you can imagine. And then when, you know, Mississippi State fans, it's tough to separate what Mississippi State fans had seen the previous 3 years and like trying to, you know, will Mike Leach to win football games because we want to be successful and we want to see this, that, and the other happen. And it's not happening as fast as we want. And so there's some frustration, right?
Yep.
Then you see the outpouring of love and respect from Mike Leach, and you get that maybe we didn't know what we had kind of regret thing happening. So, I mean, you just look last week here in Starkville, Bob Stoops and Lincoln Riley and all of these great coaches were all here in Starkville to celebrate that man's life, a true legend of college football. His legacy will be he is – because I don't think State's going to get away. I don't know that they'll be as pure air raid because I don't think anybody was as pure air raid as Mike Leach. But the days of Mississippi State being 3 yards in a cloud of dust are kind of over. You know, I think Zach Arnett will stay within the air raid family when he hires his offensive coordinator. And you know, you're going to continue to see State be a passing football team. So Mike Leach's legacy is – you know, in the 3 years he was here, State completely rewrote its passing record book. Will Rogers holds every record that Dak Prescott used to hold. I mean, he's the number one guy statistically across the board. So that's the legacy of Mike Leach on the field. And then off the field, you've seen some of the stories that have come out the past few weeks of things he was doing in the community that he never told anybody about. You know, restaurants that he was helping out, people that he met and he helped out here. And I tell you, you know, anytime I ever needed anything from Mike Leach, you literally could just text him and say, hey, come on my radio show. Okay. What time? I'll try to be there. And it was literally try to be there. It was, you know, coach, the segment starts at 3:20. He might show up at 3:27.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just make it roll. You make it work. You tell him to stick around. He was like, yeah, sure. I can stick around. No problem. So great guy. I miss him. And I'm sad that we don't never – I'm sad from a friend perspective. I don't know that Mike Leach and I were friends. He knew who I was. I'll say that. But I'm sad from that I'll never get to speak to him again because every time you spoke to him, it was an event. And then I'm also sad from a football perspective because I think he had this program going in the right direction and was going to turn Mississippi State. But I think next year would have been a huge year for Mike Leach at Mississippi State.
Yeah, and I will tell you, that is a fantastic story. Thanks for sharing that, because you know that's just the opportunity to rub elbows with a guy. I don't think people understand he has a lot of coaches that he has spun off out of his organization. Even that Texas Tech team from 2000, I believe there are eight head coaches off of that, and of course Graham Harrell, you know, one of his great quarterbacks, recently became the offensive coordinator for Purdue. Yeah. Will be working under Ryan Walters, Illinois' former and excellent defensive coordinator. So we're a little bit nervous in Champaign looking over at West Lafayette going, you know, they've been a big time passing team under Jeff Brohm, but could it get even bigger? Yeah. You know, with an air raid guy.
I would expect it to.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, and I will tell you that, you know, I had the opportunity, and if you get a chance to hear any of the old recordings of when he had his show on Sirius, you would learn more football listening to his show for an hour than you could, you know, going and watching practices for a lot of coaches. Yeah. So we appreciate that story. A question for you, because Illinois fans are really nervous. Playing against the Mike Leach teams, you know, is obviously you got to have your defense ready to go out and sprint and mm-hmm. cover the whole field. What do you expect out of a team that's playing for a coach? And a lot of these kids, they're kids. They've never went through, you know, having somebody near and dear to them pass away like this.
Yeah, and that's the big question, right? I feel like the motivation is there for sure with the coaching staff and with the players. They want to win this game for Mike Leach. They want to honor him in that way. So they have that, but the emotions are certainly going to wear on them. You think about Will Rogers, a quarterback who didn't have a ton of offers out of high school. He had two offers, actually. He had Mississippi State and Washington State. Leach offered him while he was at Washington State. And then Leach takes over after he's already signed with Mississippi State. And it's like, well, great. He wanted me anyway. So, but what's his emotional state going to be like when this man who has meant so much to his career isn't the one calling the plays for him on January 2nd? That's something we can't know until it happens. That said, you know, if you have an advantage, obviously State's not going to completely revamp its offensive system in 2 weeks. Right. But what, and Steve Spurrier Jr. has been named the offensive coordinator for this game. He'll call plays. He's going to call plays differently than Mike Leach does. Nobody called plays like Mike Leach does.
Right.
So it's going to be a little different look for Illinois. And I know that they're missing some of their talented guys in the secondary from the opt-outs. So, you know, State this year struggled at times offensively, especially when they would just refuse to run the football. If you watch State play this year, when they ran the ball 20-plus times per game, which is a huge number for Mike Leach, they were really successful, and that's the games where Will Rogers had his best games: Texas A&M, Arkansas, and then you know they played pretty well against Ole Miss. Rogers had some turnovers in that game, but the running game was able to open things up. I think Spurrier is going to want to run the football on Illinois and let that work its way into opening things up. And with the air raid, it's not even about averaging 5-6 yards a carry, right? It's just about letting teams know we're willing to run the football. We're not going to throw it 65 times. You can't just sit back in zone defense and you know, you're going to have to commit some guys to stop the run and play some man coverage. And when you do that, we're going to get you. We're going to get you with those crossing routes. We're going to go deep to one of our speed guys and have that. Now, State's missing one of its best receivers in Ra-Ra Thomas. He hit the portal. He's already committed to Georgia. They're missing their leading rusher this year, Dylan Johnson. He hit the portal as well. Hasn't made his destination known yet, but State still has a ton of skill position talent available to them in this game. And of course they have Will Rogers. So I think that, you know, if they can hold their emotions in check as best they can, I think that they'll be fine, but this is a very good Illinois defense, even missing these guys and missing Ryan Walters. Is a talented group and they're good. They're a good defensive team, so it should be a good chess match between these two guys. It's funny that there's, you know, basically an interim offensive coordinator and an interim defensive coordinator matching up here when we thought we were going to get Mike Leach versus Ryan Walters, but it was just not meant to be.
Yeah, no, that is something that is, you know, you just unfortunately, you know, there's no way. Sad things happen. You know, the interesting thing is Illini will have Devin Witherspoon and Sidney Brown out on the defensive side. On the offensive side, obviously Chase Brown, Sidney's brother, will be out as well. So gives you three opt-outs, but pretty significant players. you know, just as an amateur looking at this, when we're talking about that Mississippi State offense, to me, one of the keys of the game is the Illinois defensive line, which played extremely well this year, can they handle dealing with the run, you know, by themselves, so to speak? If they can, that allows the defense to do a lot more in the backfield to protect against some of this speed. I'm not certain if Illinois has went up against a raw talent in the wide receiver ranks that Mississippi State can throw at them.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the Big Ten, obviously, and there's aren't you mentioned Purdue. That's basically it in the Big Ten West for teams that like to throw the football almost at all.
Pretty much. Nebraska likes to. They're just not very good at it.
Not very good at it, yeah. So that's going to be an issue, you know. But if, the same thing, when you look at the advanced stats and you look at stuff like, you know, when you break it down by attempt, you can still see that Illinois is still very good against the pass. They just don't face a lot of passes because of the conference and the division that they play in. The State does have some good speed. Tulu Griffin is mainly the main guy there. Rufus Harvey is a good, but State has good possession receivers too. Guys like Caleb Ducking, Austin Williams. That, you know, they have guys who can just, you know, just churn and move the chains with those 5, 6, 7 yard pass receptions. As far as the running game goes, you know, where State has struggled this year is when defenses can basically do what you were just saying, when they can run a 4-man front and contain State offensively on the run game, they've had success. The game I thought State was the most out of its depth defensively was against LSU. And their defensive coordinator in that game, Matt House, he threw out a ton of different looks at Rodgers. He obviously had some stuff that they had not seen on film coming into the game, and it confused them, and they got away from the run. State wasn't able to hold up against their pass rush. But that's LSU. You know, they are an elite team with elite players. Illinois is a good team with good players. So I don't know that, you know, but it's those one-on-one matchups that you have to win. And if you have to bring 5 or 6 guys, if you can get there, you'll cause State trouble all night. But if you don't get there, then guys are running wide open in the secondary. And that's exactly what the Air Raid wants. They want to create those matchups where they can get you out in one-on-ones, or they can get somebody open in space and turn a 7-yard play into a 20-yard play, into a 30-yard play. So that's going to be key for Illinois, and it's going to be key for Mississippi State to win on the line of scrimmage. The good news is State's offensive line has been really good this year, even losing Charles Cross to the NFL a season ago, who's turned out to be a great player, if anybody watched him play, that's no surprise. But they've been really good this year. They had an injury early in the season to their left tackle, Quatrevious Johnson, who goes by Dollar Bill. But they moved some guys around, and they've been a really good unit throughout the season. Rodgers has not been sacked very often. And when he has been, it's one of those things where you got to look inside the numbers. When he has been sacked, it's been a lot of coverage sacks. It's been a lot of indecision and inability to get – mobility is not Will Rogers' forte. If you can rush him, you will sack him because he's not going to get away from you.
Well, that's good. That's interesting. Like I said, I was going to ask you about the offensive line. You gave us a good rundown on that. Illinois' defensive line has largely been, between that and the DBs, have been the strength of the defense and the ability to rush the passer with 4 guys. Or this is where the X factor comes in. Ryan Walters was willing to blitz, and he was willing to throw the kitchen sink at people. Mm. We'll see what happens, next Monday, because we don't know. Yeah. And that gets you.
Ryan Walters and Zach Arnett sound like they have a lot in common. Yes. Zach Arnett blitzes on top of blitzes. That guy has never blitzed enough.
Yeah, and I will tell you, he would occasionally send the cornerback in from the wide side of the field. You'd be like, "What's he do? Oh, that was a good sack." So you just, you've got obviously coaches who know what they're doing. How are the running backs in terms of breakaway speed, power backs?
That's going to be interesting because as I mentioned, Dylan Johnson out for this game. He's in the portal. He was more of the power guy of the duo. So now you have Woody Marks, who is more of the breakaway guy. He's a tough guy. I mean, he's taken a ton of hits over his years. An interesting stat for him. I don't know that he's gotten there yet, but he is on pace. He'll be back next season as a running back to be Mississippi State's all-time leading receiver by the end of next season. I mean, that's not so many passes he's caught, because in the first year and a half of this offense, while they were still figuring things out, it was check down, check down, check down, and he just did the best he could. My guess is the number two back will be a redshirt freshman named Simeon Price. Hasn't gotten a ton of carries this year, but has been he's flashed when he's gotten the chance to play. He's got some speed. But State will miss Dylan Johnson in this game, especially on third and one and things like that. Marks is capable of making those kind of runs, but Dylan Johnson was a lot more capable, much more of a power back than Marks was. So we'll see how that goes for Mississippi State. I do expect them to run the football, but like I said, how effective they're going to be, especially without Johnson, that's a big question.
Now, if we're talking, of course, obviously we got to get talking about the Illinois offense versus Mississippi State defense, but we have special teams to either A, kick the field goal or kick the punt to get it down to the Illinois end of the field. How are the special teams for Mississippi State?
From a kicking standpoint, they're okay. State has had some inconsistency throughout the year. They went to the transfer portal to try to find that consistency. They didn't have it early in the season, but basically from the Kentucky game on, Massimo Biscardi has been pretty good for Mississippi State. He's made the field goals you would expect a kicker to make. From a punting standpoint, again, it's been really up and down. Early in the season, they were very good. They went through a tough stretch mid-season where they were having issues every week. It seemed like they had a shanked punt in every game. And then in the Ole Miss game, at the end of the season, the Egg Bowl, they had one of their best games of the year. They consistently put Ole Miss behind the 20-yard line. They played really, really well. So it's like a box of chocolates, I guess. I don't know what I'm going to get, but they've been good at times. They've been bad at times. State special teams have been the best at the return game. Tulu Griffin, one of the best kick returners in the country. Xavion Thomas is one of the best punt returners in the country. Unfortunately, he is also in the portal for Mississippi State now. He's a guy that they've been talking about maybe making a return to Starkville, but I don't see the team's already down there in Tampa as we speak. So I don't, unless he made the trip that I'm not aware of, don't expect him to play. So I don't know who will return punts for Mississippi State. That was a season-long quest to try to find a guy there. Austin Williams was that guy at the beginning of the season. He had a crucial fumble against LSU that really sprung the game for the Tigers there and cost Mississippi State. Then they went to Thomas. He missed a game early in the season. They let Tulu Griffin try it. He was inconsistent. Thomas, by the end of the season, was the guy there, but he's not available for Mississippi State in this game.
Yeah, and just so you know, Illinois may be the mirror. Hugh Robertson has had some fantastic games as the Illinois punter. He's also had a couple shanks and to be truthful, in very critical situations that have really hurt the team. And so, you know, it is a little bit of a life is a box of chocolates from him. Caleb Griffin on the kicking side has been solid when healthy. Did nurse a leg injury, which then caused, a backup kicker to be used. And while he did a fine job, you weren't kicking field goals, you know, much further than 35 yards thereabouts. On the kick returning, Illinois has been fine. Nothing to stand out. Isaiah Williams, their do-everything wide receiver. We found out that he does occasionally drop the ball on punt returns, but he also has the ability to break one loose now and again. So, you know, it's a little bit of a roll of the dice. So I know that's probably an area that is Coach B moves forward. He'll probably want a little more consistency from that. So now when Illinois has the ball, they will be minus Chase Brown. Still have Tommy DeVito there. They've got a decent wide receiving core. We're hoping that McCray can get some carries this week. He's been injured with a bad wheel, but he's the big 235, 240-pound road grader. Had a really good freshman year, and then has really had injury. Gets hurt, twists a knee, come back, and gets rolled up from behind on the same leg. Literally the first game he comes back. And so he really hasn't had the opportunity to play. And then Reggie Love will probably be the tailback that will be out there most of the time for the Illini. What do you see the Mississippi State defense you know, looking like in defensive line, linebackers, defensive backs? How do they match up?
Well, they've been a really good defense this year, and they're coming off their best game of the year. You know, Ole Miss is one of the best rushing teams in the country, and State held them as a team under 100 yards, including Quinshon Judkins, who, you know, if you've watched him play this year, fantastic back. They held him to 70 yards rushing on 20 carries. I mean, this is a guy, the week before at Arkansas, he rushed for 250 yards. So State has been a good team against the run this year. They have a tendency sometimes to break up and give up big plays in the running game. But as far as just like consistency, they have that. They've struggled also with mobile quarterbacks. So if DeVito is a guy who can make some plays with his legs, if he can get outside the pocket, State has had issues. That Jaden Daniels gave them a bunch of trouble. So did Bryce Young, not in terms of running the ball as much, but just being able to keep plays alive in the pocket. And then when State played Arkansas, KJ Jefferson missed that game, but they had Malik Hornsby, who's a great athlete and a guy who could make some plays running the football. That bothered State a little bit as well. In the secondary, he hasn't made it official, but I know Emmanuel Forbes is practicing with the team, the nation's leader in interceptions. Obviously, you know, he and Witherspoon, those are a couple of the top cornerbacks in the country. There was a lot of controversy down here that Forbes wasn't a finalist for the Thorpe Award when that came out, that because, you know, he leads the nation in interceptions, like I mentioned, and set an NCAA record for career pick sixes. He has six in his career. So he's a guy that when he gets the ball in his hands, not only does he take it away, he can go back the other way with it. Everybody's healthy as far as I know. Everybody's expected to play on the defense as far as I know. Nobody opted out that I'm aware of. And for a lot of these guys that are coming back next year, this can be sort of a launching point. Defensively, this team is very, very solid. And then you have Zach Arnett, who's now the head coach of the team. I assume that he will still call the defenses for this game, and then we'll see what his staff looks like going into next season. But you talked about aggressive earlier. I mean, this is a guy – he made the comment when someone was asking about him, his relationship with Leach. He said, "I never wanted to have to tell Coach Leach I didn't think I blitzed enough." He wanted to be aggressive every play. And you talked about corner blitzes. You will see those from Zach Arnett, safety blitzes. He has no problem bringing 5, 6, 7 guys. He'll put his corners out there. And you can do that when you have a guy like Emmanuel Forbes who can take away the team's best receiver, and then you can just kind of figure it out with the other guys out there. On the defensive line, State has a lot of depth. They don't have a star like they've had in years past. There's no Chris Jones or Jeff Simmons on this team. But Cam Young is really solid in the middle. Jaden Crumity, who missed the first 8 weeks of the season, he had a wrist injury. And normally you hear like a wrist injury, just put a club on him and go. He had like severe, I think there was some nerve damage in there. He got healthy, and State, when he came back, was noticeably better on the defensive line. So his return has been big. Randy Charlton has made some big plays. He had the big play in the Egg Bowl, deflecting the pass on the 2-point conversion that sealed the win for Mississippi State. So this is a good, experienced team. Their linebacking core is built to stop the run. They look like Big Ten linebackers, big, physical guys, not exactly burners sideline to sideline, but if you want to play tackle to tackle with them, the State can win a lot of those matchups. And then you have Tyrus Wheat, who's probably their best pass rusher, a guy who can get after the quarterback. Got speed, got athleticism. This is a good SEC defense. They can shut down a good offense. So Illinois has got their work cut out for them, especially if they want to run the football in this defense, because that plays into what State likes to do.
Yeah, this should be an interesting one. Illinois' offensive line is a solid line. I hesitate to say a great line because they have struggled to get yards in the red zone. And some of that has been, to be honest, the interior blocking, guard, center, guard, has not been the greatest in the red zone. And then the other thing is Illinois gets very, very predictable in the red zone. Mm-hmm. So, first down, they're going to run. I mean, to be honest, now that Chase Brown's not there, you may not have to worry about 3 handoffs to him up the middle, you know, in a row. So maybe that will give him some opportunities. Now, when DeVito is an elusive quarterback, he is not a burner, but he's the type of guy who can sidestep, which allows him to throw the ball. The other thing that he does well is he's good at getting that intermediate scramble, you know, 4 to 12 yards. And he is willing to put his head down if he thinks he can get a first down. And he's also smart enough to realize that if he doesn't have to take a hit, you know, slide down and don't take it. So,
yeah.
And Illinois' wide receivers are a work in progress. They have improved greatly over the course of the season. Isaiah Williams is probably the one who's really the best, particularly after he catches the ball. He's not a pure burner, but he is elusive and runs really low to the ground and breaks a surprising number of tackles for a guy who, you know, doesn't weigh 180 pounds. So, you know, and then the tight end position has been a challenge this year.
What's a tight end?
Exactly.
I don't know what that is.
We thought under Brett Bielema that we would be a little more dominant there. Luke Ford was a player who transferred in from Georgia and, you know, just never was able to really put it all together.
Yeah.
Looks like a superhero. Had some good plays now and again, but didn't have the consistency. Tim Reinman is there, and that's who they've kind of went to. And Michael Marchese is a guy who's, you know, played a lot over the years and has been a kind of a surprise as a tight end, you know, typical like former fullback and has had a few bright moments. But this Illinois offense will have their work cut out again, as you've said. If you were going to put out a prediction for this game, what would you say the score would be?
I thought even when before Mike Leach passed away that this was going to be sort of a dogfight, no pun intended, because I think both, you know, 3 weeks ago when you had Leach and you still had Ryan Walters and nobody had opted out, I was like, and Illinois is really good defensively. State's pretty good defensively. State has struggled at times offensively. What Illinois likes to do offensively kind of plays it. So I was thinking something like, without even predicting a winner, something like, you know, 27-20 or something like that. And whoever, you know, makes the fewest mistakes would win. Now, all that's been blown wide open. We really don't know what Illinois is going to do. They're missing two of their biggest stars. Mississippi State obviously is playing with a heavy heart and a new head coach who has never been a head coach before. I mean, it's one thing like, you know, Illinois is missing a defensive coordinator, but you still have Bielema there to guide and, you know, the veteran into lean on. Arnett's out here kind of by himself. The only person who has any head coaching experience on this roster, on the coaching staff, is Tony Hughes, who was at Jackson State for a few years. But Arnett's kind of flying solo here. And his offensive coordinator, Steve Spurrier Jr., has never been an offensive coordinator. He's called plays a couple of times this year in the season. He did so again in the FCS game that State played before the Egg Bowl, just because Mike Leach was just like, let's just see what you can do here, and gave him full control for a day. But there's a lot of unknowns on both sides of the ball. If State shows up motivated to play for Mike Leach, I think they're talented enough to win the game. But if they're distracted, if they can't get past the hurt, they could very easily lose. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think the spread's only like 1.5 right now, something like that anyway. It's not going to be much more than a touchdown either way. I think State would win right now, but I think it'll be a very close and very hard-fought football game.
Yeah, I tend to think that's right on where I'm at, and I think Illinois has to control – their defensive line has to control the line of scrimmage to have a shot at this, because I think they've got to be able to limit as best they can Mississippi State's offense. If they can't do that, the Illinois offense has not been able to go up and down the field consistently this season. And if they have to get into scoring, you know, who can go higher? I think there's going to be some problems there for Illinois, to be real frank.
Yeah, I feel the same way for Mississippi State. If any team gets into the 30s, they're probably winning this football game.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. So now I've got one last question for you that you may or may not be able to answer.
All right.
Illinois is looking in the transfer portal at a quarterback from Ole Miss, Luke Altmyer.
Yeah.
Do you know much about Luke that you could give our Illinois fans a little bit of a scouting report? Is that possible?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Luke is from Starkville, actually, the home of Mississippi State, which is you know, kind of funny. Ole Miss a few years ago had A.J. Brown, who's from Starkville as well, and then they got Luke Altmyer, who was in the class. So he's a redshirt freshman, So he would have been in the class where State was recruiting Sawyer Robertson, who's a redshirt freshman now for State and is kind of the QB of the future for the Bulldogs. Obviously, Altmyer last year was sort of thrown into the fire in the Sugar Bowl when Matt Corral got hurt and had to go out there. Good athlete. He's got a plus arm. You know, you haven't really seen enough of him to make a full judgment on his playing career. As far as a locker room guy and all that, great kid. Everybody loved him here in Starkville. His dad is actually one of the team doctors for Mississippi State. So it's really funny that he ended up at Ole Miss. He was originally committed to Florida State, but then when Kiffin came in, Kiffin was like, absolutely not. Are we letting the top quarterback in the state go to Florida State? And he ends up at Ole Miss. And then, of course, Leach got here after signing day, so he was already signed with Ole Miss. And then, you know, Ole Miss brought in Jackson Dart last year, and Dart just beat him out. And that's no slight on Altmyer. Dart's a really talented quarterback. If you watched him play this year, I think he's a future NFL guy. So, and I was talking to your friend and ours, Matt Stevens, earlier about this today. I think Illinois is a program where a guy like Luke Altmyer could be very successful. You know, I'll be honest. I mean, from a recruiting profile standpoint, better than Tommy DeVito.
Right.
I mean, just a better prospect coming out of high school. He's got a lot of physical tools. You mentioned DeVito being elusive. Altmyer's a plus runner. He's a guy who can get yards with his feet, and he's got a good enough arm. So if that's where he ends up, I would not be surprised at all to see him be very successful at Illinois.
Good, good. Well, I appreciate that. We definitely like to get a little bit of an inside look at that, and especially from somebody who's got some knowledge and experience. And, you know, as we were talking, you know, with you being a part, you know, of Sports Talk, Mississippi gives you kind of that perspective across the whole state. Yeah. And have to talk both programs. And so there's a little bit of a bonus I didn't even think was coming.
Yeah.
Now, if folks want to follow you, what's your Twitter handle?
It's really simple. It's at Brian Haydad, BrianHadad. I'm on Twitter there. No Twitter blue or anything like that. I'm not paying for anything, but I'm there. And of course, if you want to check us out, if you go to supertalk.fm, our show airs 3 to 6 every day. Richard Cross, myself, and Michael Borky, 3 hours a day of Mississippi Sports Talk. And then, of course, there's the Thunder and Lightning podcast that's available wherever podcasts are, Apple, Spotify, all that stuff. 5 days a week, me and my co-host Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports. We cover Mississippi State every day and have great podcasts and great fun. And hopefully if you're interested in getting a little Mississippi State stuff, and like I mentioned, Matt Stevens a minute ago from Illini Guys, he'll join me on Thursday on Thunder and Lightning, and he'll give us the Illinois perspective about this upcoming game.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on as a guest. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
And if you've enjoyed this Eye on the Illini, of course, IlliniGuys.com is what powers Eye on the Illini. You can go to IlliniGuys.com. You can subscribe, $99 a year. We have not had the uptick in inflation affect our pricing. We're holding the line as best we can for everybody. What a great value. You get all of our stories, plus you can go back and into the message boards. You can ask Matt Stevens. He's the guy who kind of set this interview up. You can ask Matt questions about the team, Ked, Brad, Larry, myself. And, of course, there's a lot of Illini fans who are out there as well, and you can go back and forth with them. It's fun to argue who should be on the Illini Mount Rushmore for basketball or for football. It's definitely a lot of fun. $99 a year. When you break that down, that's very affordable, and I guarantee you, you will get a great expenditure in terms of how much you pay per hour when you start getting involved. The other thing you can check for is the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our weekly radio show. That's on Fridays or Saturdays. All you go to do is IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and then check and see what station is closest to you. Is it on Friday or Saturday? And what time? And tune us in. We'd love to have you as a listener. And thank your station for having us on. We really appreciate it. And as a final thing, of course, we have other podcasts. We have Sturdy for 30. We have Ked's Recruiting Roundup. And those are great ones to basically listen to. Ted gives you an idea of what it's like to be a recruit of a Power Five Big Ten school. He talks to the recruits, their parents, their coaches, totally unique perspective. And then Brad has all sorts of things Illini oriented on Sturdy for 30. You never know what guest is going to come on to talk with Brad. It's a lot of fun as well. Definitely look for those and subscribe. Anytime you have one of our podcasts, if you can give us a 5-star review, that would help us greatly. So that's it. We really want to thank Brian Haydad for coming on. And if you get a chance, Sports Talk Mississippi is where you can listen to him. And he might get you ready for the game so you know what the other team is going to do. With that, we will leave you with the number one thing. Go Illini. And we will be back Thursday night with a post-game podcast after Illinois plays in basketball. And then we'll be back on Monday with a post-bowl game podcast as well.